Good morning. We have Todd Zwillip with us this morning, filling in for John Hockenberry on The Takeaway. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
Let's get right to our top story, which is WikiLeaks. They've released 200 of more than 250,000 documents that contain cable messages between international diplomats, all from the U.S. State Department. And they are a backroom look at the dealings between diplomats and between countries. And joining us now is Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times, with the article on WikiLeaks. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
So let's talk first of all about the process. Before we go into exactly what's in the documents, tell me about the process of choosing what to publish. When you get these notices from WikiLeaks saying we have more confidential material to release, and then they send you some of it, what do you publish, what do you not?
In this case, we were actually provided these 250,000 diplomatic cables by an intermediary who asked for confidentiality, but who I believe got them from WikiLeaks and passed them on to us. And we put them into a database where they could be searched with keywords, because obviously it's such a massive amount of information, you really don't know where to start. And so a team of reporters at the New York Times for several weeks has been doing keyword searches by country. We could search them by what embassy the cables came from, by various topics, and gradually we sort of narrowed down the field of the most interesting material. Some of it because it relates to, hot topics in the news, counterterrorism, Pakistan, Iran, Yemen, but also some cables that just illustrate in an interesting way the work of diplomats and how these folks represent our country.
All right, well, let's unpack this just a little bit. And you tell me, what do you think were the most interesting revelations on hot topics that you saw in the WikiLeaks documents?
Well, I guess I should say that in general, these are not shocking revelations. What it really is the backstory of the events that we have seen unfold in public. To take an example, we have written and others have written about the fact that as the terrorist threat from Yemen has increased, especially since the failed attempt to blow up that airliner last Christmas, the U.S. has carried out a number of missile strikes against al-Qaeda in Yemen. And the Yemeni government has taken responsibility for those strikes and said it was actually not the U.S. but Yemen. And we had reported that actually this was U.S., these were U.S. missile strikes. But what these cables give you in one case is a conversation between the president of Yemen, President Ali Abdullah Saleh, and General David Petraeus, who was then in charge of all forces in the Middle East. And they're talking about this, and President Saleh of Yemen says, we'll continue to, say these are our strikes and not yours. And so you really kind of get the fly-on-the-wall version of these conversations and negotiations that you assume are taking place, but you rarely get a chance to witness.
Many times that WikiLeaks releases documents, they're not a surprise to people. It's information that most people could know or could find out if they really dug. But some of the things released in the diplomatic cables could be harming. And as you say, they're about areas of the world and countries that are particularly volatile right now. Things about North Korea, which could possibly add to tensions between those two countries. Things about nuclear weapons and highly enriched uranium in Pakistan, which could lead to more anti-American feeling there. And that's probably what caused Senator Lindsey Graham, to say this on Fox News.
Leaking the material is deplorable. I agree with the Pentagon's assessment that the people at WikiLeaks could have blood on their hands. I don't know what the cables may say, but it's just we're at war. I mean, the world is getting dangerous by the day, and people who do this are low on the food chain as far as I'm concerned. If you can prosecute them, let's try.
And with Representative Peter King calling for WikiLeaks to be called a foreign terrorist organization, does that give you, as part of the New York Times organization, pause?
Well, we certainly had a lot of discussions about this project. And I should emphasize that we identified about 100 cables that we just wanted to run and base stories on. They're going to run over the next week or so. And we redacted them to remove the names of people who had talked openly with diplomats in countries, in oppressive countries, where we thought those confidential sources for American diplomats might be get in trouble. And we also, after consultations with the State Department, we provided all 100 cables. The State Department said, we plan to run these. You know, tell us what you think. And we've had some conversations with them that are ongoing, and we've taken out material based on the advice we got from them.
Okay, Scott, but Scott, you've redacted things and you've exercised the editorial standards of the New York Times, but WikiLeaks has put this stuff up on the internet. So, does it matter? I mean,
that's actually a bit of a misunderstanding that is wide and widespread out there. WikiLeaks, and it's partly WikiLeaks' own fault. They were sort of boasting we're going to put, you know, thousands and thousands of documents on the web. What they have actually done, they posted 220 documents last night, and those are the documents that our publication, the New York Times, and several European publications that are posting some of these documents have themselves chosen and either decided didn't need redaction or redacted themselves. And WikiLeaks, for example, the documents that it posted that we had posted with redactions, it posted them with the same redactions. Now, I don't speak for WikiLeaks, and it's hard for me to predict what they're going to do in the future, but so far they have been extremely cautious, and they've released 250,000 cables to these publications, but not to the public, not on the web. They've only so far put up 220 documents, and as I say, many of those are redacted.
Okay. Scott, we only have about 30 seconds, but was there anything in here proving that the administration lied, that they've done something criminal?
No, I don't think so. They're very, very interesting conversations. For example, I'll mention one very briefly, between American representatives and Ahmed Wali Karzai, the brother of Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan. And the cable makes it clear that we believe he's not being completely truthful with us, and we're not being very truthful with him.
Well, that's no surprise to anybody, I don't think. Scott Shane, national security reporter for our partner, The New York Times, thank you so much.